Wonderful. Praise the Lord. We'll get there. Greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you happy this morning? Woke up feeling good? With Jesus on your mind? That's wonderful. I did too. And of course, as Brother Elivera says, we're expecting something from the Lord. I know that I cannot satisfy you, but the Lord can. And I'm so happy to be just a little servant that give my ear to the Lord. Done that for a few years now. And like Brother said, we keep coming back. And we don't try to make this a tradition, but we like the fellowship. We enjoy His presence together. I can guarantee you, you are a happy people. I see a lot of things in the world, but when I see a Filipino, I see a happy person. Might not be everyone, I don't know. But the ones I meet are normally Christian people that are longing to serve the Lord, and they are happy. Yeah. And stay that way. Even if you're unhappy, be happy. Yeah. Because it pays to serve the Lord. Sometimes people are in pain, but pain is just an utter circumstance. If you hurt yourself, you can also, of course, in your mind be in pain because you're thinking in a direction that make you suffer. You heard about Brother Bomoya. When a man is killed because you run over him, that's not a pleasant sight. And on our way to Redstown on Friday, the traffic slowed down on the highway, and that was because there were two accidents. Police and ambulance was in both places, and they we didn't know what had happened. We just saw a commotion, and we saw cars tore up. So we knew there's something there, and that just make us understand we are pretty frail. Grace and I, we travel thousands of miles. And the more you're out there, the more you put yourself in danger, right? It's dangerous to get out of the bed. You better stay in bed day and night, right? Because then you will not be run over. But you might die of laziness. So have a balanced walk. Get up and believe the Lord to help you through the day. Amen. I'm happy today. And I believe we have a good word from the Lord. All the word in the Bible, all the words of the Bible are good, even if some of them are serious. But it's good for us to listen to the Spirit and then obey it. Because that's very important. This morning, I have a little continuation of what we have been into for the last few services here. We have been looking at Revelation chapter 10. And to me, when I read chapter 10, it's an excited chapter. Because it deals with our day, deals with our time. When I started out for the Lord, I really wanted to know, is there something related to my day? Something that I should look up for and be aware of? Because you can read about the Old Testament. And of course, that's more than 2,000 years old. And all the events that happened back there cannot normally take place today. It's like when you plant seed, you do that in the spring, and you harvest in the fall. And you cannot have spring all year around in growing seed. You will reap the product of what you sow. So therefore, there are seasons. And in God's great calendar, there are seasons too. And the Lord divided it up. I don't know what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets knew when it came to how long this would take. Because the disciples asked Jesus, is it no starting? And he said, it's not for you to know the day, but you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that Spirit shall lead you and make you familiar with your day. So don't stretch your thoughts too far up the road, but ask the Lord to lead you today. And then He will start to inform you of what to do, and the things you then do will be according to His plan. Whether you are in the beginning or in the end of the season or in the middle somewhere. Every day, I used to walk a little, and when I walk in the spring, I see the farmer plant seed. And every day, if I walk every day, I don't see much progress. But if I skip a week and then walk the same trail, I find, oh my, there's come up a little stucco, a plant is coming up. And if I jump another couple of weeks, the plant is grown. If you stand staring at it, you won't see much difference. But if you turn away and look back, something has happened, because it's life there. And maybe you might look yourself in the mirror and you might say, I don't see much difference. But skip the mirror for about 20 years and you look back again and you say, oh my, something had happened. Yeah. After I was 20 and now, something has happened. And I'm not afraid of it. It's just life. Yeah. I'll get older, more wrinkles, stronger glasses, and whatever. But don't worry about it, because inside, I'm still 20. Right? Isn't that with you too? You feel old, your back is aching, your legs are not carrying you as you used to. But inside, you wished you could jump. Because inside, there is a young person. And that's going to stay forever young. Because God, when He fused you with His Spirit, gave you a new birth, filled with the Holy Ghost, then you will remain. The only thing you will do is to change body. You will be overclothed with a heavenly body that will never age. And that's really what we are into in the Scriptures. And in Revelation, in chapter 10, we looked at an angel that came down and put his feet on the sea and on the ground. And of course, it's a symbolic thing. It's not when Brother Branham saw an angel, he was about 200 pounds and maybe 220 and 6 feet tall. And that was the image that was put before him. A person that spoke to him and told him, gave him the commission. So when we think about a great, mighty angel, we're not only talking about size. We're talking about influence, character, authority. Right? There are people here. We're all sitting together. And I don't know who is the mightiest of you. You see? Right? Who has the most influence? But if you start looking at the character of the person, you will find out if they have influence. Or if they're just joking and fooling around. So that will tell us a difference. But the angels of the Lord, they're already tested through. And when they appear, they mean business. So therefore, here in the scripture, angels are creatures that were created before man, because Adam was formed in the Garden of Eden, in Adam's Eden. But the angelic world was formed way before that. And they had also their test. There was a testing ground in a different Eden. And when they made their choices, the Lord set them in different capacities according to the choices they made. And one of them, he became Lucifer, the devil. And he deceived a lot of the angelic world. And they ganged up with him. And they became the hostess of demons and devils that you have to fight and struggle against. They're invisible, you don't see them. Occasionally, angels, even demons, can be seen. But it's not because you got special eyes that you can detect. No, it's because God opens up your eyes and helps you so that you know what you're standing up against. I also saw bad things. They were not natural. They were spiritual, but my eyes were stuck on them as I saw a real person. And I know devils are not something you want to invite into your fellowship. You stay away from it and push it as far away as you can. Raise up a standard so you don't need to have it too close. The devil cannot really overtake you if you, in your mind and in your heart, set up a standard against him. Yeah, because he says, resist him and he shall flee from you. Praise the Lord. That's the promise of the Lord. But when the Lord comes with his angels, with his angel band, that's what you want to welcome in. And not, we're not angel worshippers. I hope you understand that. Because they're invisible and you cannot control those things. At sundry times, the Lord will reveal to you. We were in prison here on Wednesday, and we asked the people if there was anyone who needed the Holy Spirit. And I don't say that just to have something to say. I say that because they need it. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can be fused in with a wonderful plan of God. And if you need strength to carry on, to press on, because there's something that you cannot comprehend, you don't understand it, you're not able to take the next step, then the Lord, he will come and he'll help you, he'll show you something that will make you press on. There might be a vision or just a whispering into your spiritual ear. Nobody else may never even hear it. But you hear something and it establishes you, satisfies your spirit, and you keep taking the next step. And the Lord will make you an overcomer so that you continue to hear his voice. I don't say that you're going to hear it every day and every minute of the day, but whenever you need to go on, the Lord sees he needs to go on. And if you're afraid to do that, he'll just say, well, I'll give him something to go on so he can press on. So, and here, in the late hour, we have received from the Lord a message, a wonderful message that will help us to really understand what is going on in these days. And when I started out for the Lord, I didn't know what time I was in. But after a little while, reading the Bible and also listening to people that have lived longer for the Lord than me, I started understanding we are here in this time. And I started to see scriptures in the Bible that would point to the time that I was living in. And Revelation chapter 10, verse from 1 and up, really tells about the seasonal time that we're living in now. And there is a mighty angel, and he comes down, and he swears with him that liveth forever, who created everything. And he says something, that time shall be no more. And really, if you and I now stopped time from no one, then time cannot go on. You understand? Yeah. It's impossible for time to go on if there's going to be time no more. But it is a phrase that really doesn't mean that time stops. Not yet. Right? We have yesterday and the day before yesterday. We'll have tomorrow, probably, right? So time is going on. So we cannot say that we have come to the point when there is time no more. We have come to a season where time is going to end. But even if we say we are at a certain deadline now, at the end of the sixth day, the sixth day is not fully ended yet, because we're still here. And the seventh day is really the day of Sabbath. And the Sabbath is really the 1,000-year reign, the millennium. And the millennium is going to last another 1,000 years from now. So if you say time's going to be no more, you cannot stop the clock now that time is no more. There is only one time where time doesn't mean anything anymore. And that is after the millennium is completed. Right? So as long as we have the 7 days in the great calendar, God's calendar, there's going to be time. But there was a time that was called the law age. Right? And that was up till Jesus Christ. And then the law age ended up. It wasn't useful anymore. So then the dispensational grace started. And the dispensational grace has really, well, dispensational, the Gentiles, I would rather call it, right? And that dispensation has gone on all the time up till now. And I know that the dispensation of the Gentiles that will end the 2,000 years period from the cross, from Calvary, until the start of the millennium, then we're talking about a certain time going to end. Right? So when this angel is saying that time shall be no more, that means there's a certain completion, fulfillment that goes with it. And then we went into chapter 10, verse 7. And in verse 7, it tells that there is a seventh angel. There are several places in the Bible you can read about seven angels. There are the angels that are governing the dispensation, the church ages, dispensation of grace, or the Gentiles. Then you have another set of seven angels who are going to govern the 70th week of Daniel. They will fulfill a certain plan. And then you have another set of angels who has the cup of wrath. And they will also function in their day. So here we have several sets of angels and of seven angels. And this seventh angel, we've been speaking on this through the week when we had services here, how that many people have put men in as angels. But there is a difference between man and angel. I can say to a person, "Oh my, you're an angel," right? That's an expression, but I don't mean that person is actually an angel. It's just that it's an expression we use. But if you go down to it and start to put the word into a certain meaning, then you get off the track. And men are really not angels. And angels are not men. Remember, in Genesis chapter 6, the Christian world, the denominational world, have really put a mixture in with the understanding of angels. Because in chapter 6, you find out that the sons of God, they mingled with the daughters of men. And when they did that, then the interpretation starts going like this, that the angels of God started mingling with the daughters of men. You cannot do that. Angels don't mix with men. Angels don't take in marriage. They're not given in marriage. That is Jesus' own word. He said, angels, they don't do that. Because God didn't create them for that. Right? So God didn't put in the prehistoric time, He didn't put two angels in and they started producing. No, He created the angels. Hundreds of millions of them. How many? I don't know the exact number, but they're more than enough to complete the plan of God. So therefore, when you read that part, it is only the sons of God, like you are a son of God, right? You are a daughter of God. We are sons and daughters of God. Yeah. And because Adam was the son of God, right? Yeah. So therefore, when the sons of God started going in to the daughters of men, that means that the spiritual side of the human race started mingling with the worldly side of human mankind. Right? So they were normally just normal, ordinary people that got tangled together. And that is an advice in our day. If you are a spiritual person, don't look for a worldly person to get fused and tangled into. Because you got two different sets of ideas who is going in each direction. Find a mate, whether it is a man or a woman, that looks in the same direction. And you are going to have a good time. But if you look that way, you're going to have trouble. And do you think the world is in trouble now? It's getting worse and worse. Yeah. In Norway, they hardly marry anymore. And half of marriages are just done in a couple of years. They divorce before they start. Some people live together for 10 years, then they get married. And 3 months later, they have a divorce. You wonder how crazy this world becomes. But that's the way it is today. Because there is pressure from a spiritual force who is banging on your concept of understanding, advertising, movies, all kinds of impressions. Your ears and your eyes is catching a lot of things today. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to get astray here in my thought. But the angels, when the angels say the seventh angel, and I'll say, some people have put William Branham in as the seventh angel. All right, maybe everybody's not familiar with it, but that has been an expression for quite a few years. But I'll say, if William Branham is an angel, according to the scriptures, then John Wesley will have to be the sixth angel, and Martin Luther have to be the fifth angel. You see? There is a consistency of thought that you... So if you start making one angel, then you have to make seven angels and put them back in time, perspective time. So then the angels are men. But men only live 50 to 100 years. Right? So then there are so much... If we have Noah, have 2,000 years. Oh, a message from the Lord. In what we call the grace age. And then, in 2,000 years, there's only about 500 of them that have had an angel. If it was men that were angels, right? So if every man had lived to be about 100 years. But when I read the church history, the men that were anointed by God to serve, they got cut off pretty early. Some of them didn't get to be 50 years old. Yeah. So that cuts down angel guarding over the body of Christ to a very small limit. But if you let the angel be an angel, then the angel will cover the whole dispensation. Because from one to the other, the seven angels will guard and guide people. And remember, when you read the stories of William Branham, you will find out that when he was trying to put names on earthly vessels that would be governed by each angel for each time, then he really didn't know who it was. Because there were many people that lived a good Christian life and had a good Christian example that could qualify for being a star for the age. But he needed help from the angel of the Lord. And he pointed out every person that was the peak person for the church age. They were not, none of them were perfect. Some of them, well, I won't go too far there. But they, because we're not perfect either, right? Okay. So therefore, when the Lord put up these men, it was not because they were perfect, but they were the best tool for the age. And they were put up, they were given names, so that the people would have some directions of understanding what those people stood for and how much they believed in their day. So in the seventh day, that is our day, this angel is not done yet inspiring. He is still inspiring. That doesn't take away the church messenger from what he did. Because if you had Zwingli, Knox, Calvin, and all them people, and Luther, in the same age, if you put them in one box, and the angel says, this one represents the best character for the age. That doesn't take away what all the others did. They did a mighty work according to what was in their life and mind. But there was one that showed a specific light and impact in the age he lived in. All right. So, when it comes to William Branham, he was a sinner saved by grace. And he represents the seventh church age in the best manner that you can think. But it doesn't make him Christ. It doesn't make him God. It just makes him an excellent servant of the Lord. And if we're going to measure up to anyone, I'll say, if you measure up to William Branham's life and standard, you're doing a pretty good job. Yeah. Because he was very dedicated. All right? And then, because the scripture said, the seventh angel, it says, when the seventh angel blows his trumpet. This is the New Living Translation. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet. Because when the seventh angel start to sound, he must start in the church age that he is designed to govern. So therefore the seventh angel started sounding in the beginning of the Laodicean church age. And he will sound all the way through the church age until it is done, till the church age is over. And there are a lot of people today that claim to be spiritual, and they have stopped the clock already. Thus, it's over now. There is no longer Laodicean church age. We are now finished. We're just sitting waiting on the Lord to come. But that is really to fool ourselves. The church age is going as it has always done for many, many years, more than 100 years now. And the church age will keep going until the angel blows the trumpet. Right? So there's a trumpet to be blown. There's an angel to sound. And then finally, when he has done everything that he is pertained to do, God gave him a certain capacity, a certain authority. And when everything has been made known, restored, the body of Christ has everything they need for the last little scene that's going to happen on earth, that is just before us, then he will take up his trumpet, and he will blow. All right. So, in Revelation chapter 10:7, there is a trumpet. And the sound of the trumpet is really the changing of lives. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 54. There we also have a trumpet, because when Paul is preaching, remember when Paul started preaching, there were a lot of things in spiritual things that the Jewish nation or race did not know anything about. And of course, the Gentiles didn't know it either, because it was hidden. The Lord have chose to hide. And you must say, did he hide things? Did he keep things secret? Yes, God can keep secrets. And he can open them when they're needed to open. Right? You have Daniel chapter 12. You don't need to look it up. But there, Daniel wanted to know more. And then the Lord said, no, you don't need to know this. This is going to be sealed up, hidden until the end of time. So the Lord keeps opening up our understanding as we go. I believe that you as a Christian, if you came to the Lord 10 years ago or 5 years ago, I believe you know more today than you did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Right? There is an addition to your understanding and your belief that makes you stronger and make you understand and see more the plan. Right? You don't take a little child and put him as a leader of a big factory. They don't have the experience. They need to be taught and they need to learn and have some experience. And then if you feel they are capable of doing leadership, you'll put them slowly into a certain leadership. And they might grow in it until you feel safe. I can leave him with the factory now. I can leave him with the leadership. But you like to be an overseer to make sure that they're doing the proper job. Christian walk is the very same thing. When you read about Paul and he speaks to Timothy and he says there, put people in charge in church. When you preach the gospel and when you teach them, then look out for people that are capable of leadership. Right? You don't put new people, a new convert in, because they don't know how spiritual thing works out. They might be in the beginning state, but they're not fully to the understanding yet that there's a lot involved in the leadership of a spiritual church. So that's normal. All right. So in 1 Corinthians, he says, I tell you a mystery. And really, when you read Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it speaks that when the angel sounds his trumpet, then the mystery of God should be finished. In one scripture, in one translation, it says finished. In another one, it says should be completed, or it is in completion. And remember now, if we put the seventh angel at the last end of the sixth day, or in the Laodicean church age, we must understand there are still more than 1,000 years left of time. So when the angel says these things should be finished, it really is secluded to a certain chapter, right? If we read chapter, if you buy a book and the book has 24 chapters, that means it has 24 sections that in itself can have a full story. But it's not all of it yet. But you can stop that chapter and you can go to sleep and take the next chapter another day, right? You haven't read the whole book. And even when you get into the seventh angel and he says it should be finished, it is a chapter that is finished. It's not all done yet because we have a great millennium, the best time ever left for the human race. And you and I, since we're born before the millennium, God has destined us to be in a governmental position in the millennium age. Praise the Lord. So that means if you die, then if you're born again, you'll come up again. And that's what this chapter says. 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means we shall not all pass away and die. This sleep is not just a 8-hour sleep during night. This is going asleep as a person leaves this mortal life. But we shall all be changed, because the ones who sleep, they need to change. Right? But to them, they will be just given a new body. And we who are alive will also receive a new body. That's the reason that people want the Lord to come quickly in their lifetime. Like we would like for the Lord to come in our lifetime. Then we don't need to die. Right? Death is a scary, terrible thing. Right? Like the brother who ran over an old man, 84 years old, and he died. It's a terrible thing. But you'll have young people, even children. I remember Brother Govender, Brother Deva Govender. He hasn't been here, but he's also a minister. And he was driving his car on his way home, and a little child about 6 years old came running out in the street after a ball. They had been playing ball, and the little kid did not see the car coming and just ran right in front of it. And he banged the child and ran over it, and it died. 6 years old. Don't you think Brother Govender felt bad? Brother Edward feels bad over 84, right? When someone loses their life, it's a terrible thing. But remember, it is not the end. It is the end of the mortal state. But it is not the end of the soul. So when people die and you cry and you sob and you feel terrible because that, and of course it's a terrible thing. But remember, it's not the end of all things. You have to think farther than the natural life. Because here is where Paul says, we shall not all sleep. That means some of us is going to live till the catching away or the transformation of the mortal body into immortality comes. Yeah. And there are millions of Christians that have been hoping for that day in their lifetime. Personally, I heard testimonies of people that have now been dead for 20 years. Yeah, and they were hoping the Lord would come in their lifetime. It didn't happen. But it does not put any damper on their exampleship and their desire, because they're waiting to be woke up, receive a body, and come out of the graves. And there is no people that need a gravel machine to dig up the coffin, the casket, or nothing like that, because that body can go through anything. Right? So we don't need to buy a lot of spades to start digging, because the transformation is now active. No, they'll come out of their grave, and there's not a stone going to be tilted over because a man comes up. I hope you understand that part. And you say, yeah, but remember now, Jesus' grave, the stone was rolled away so he could get out. Brothers and sisters, Jesus didn't need that stone to be rolled away. That was a sign for us, so that we could see that the grave was empty. Yeah. He could go through anything. Remember, he was standing together with his disciples. Suddenly, they were talking about Jesus, and then suddenly he stood right there in their midst, and he said, peace be unto you. They got shocked. They thought they saw a spirit. Right? So therefore, Jesus said, hand me something to eat. Touch me. It's me. I'm the crucified and resurrected Christ. Hey, what a body. Can go through anything and can be as material as a stone. Yeah. And you say, my, what a fantasy you have. No, I got a Bible. And the Bible tells the story. And this is how it's going to be. The Lord has fulfilled everything from then up till now, and he's not going to leave us out for the final and most important thing of all things. The whole nation of Israel, from Abraham and up through Jesus Christ, all the Jews believed, I mean, probably not all the Jews, but all the believing Jews, they believed in the last day, the day of the Lord. Ah, that day, they were all looking for it. Martha was looking for it. Lazarus was dead. And she said, had you come earlier, maybe Lazarus would not have been dead. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. So, Do you believe that? She said, and she said, yes, I know he will raise on the last day. She didn't dare to think that he would raise now. But Jesus said, come, Martha, let's go up. Let me see the grave. Roll the stone away. And he cried out, Lazarus, come out. And here come a man floating out. Hallelujah. Resurrection and life. And one day, all the rest of them is going to come up. But Lazarus, he was quickened back to his natural life. But the ones who comes up from this grave, according to 1 Corinthians, is never going to go back to the grave again. They will have immortal bodies. And really, he says, I'll keep going. In verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. But remember now, the last trumpet, you might think that's the last trumpet that's ever going to sound, right? Because of its expression. But you have to look at the last trumpet as the last trumpet in that chapter. You got it? Right? There is a chapter where there's a great thing going to happen. But after that last trumpet in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there are other trumpets to sound, but they have a different meaning and a different impact. They are serving a different reason and course, right? Yeah. Because you have trumpets in chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8. That's the seven trumpets that is blowing a warning trumpet sound in the 70th week of Daniel. But we're not going to go into that. But here, at the last trumpet, so that means the Laodicean church age with the seventh angel, he has now been spoken and inspiring people. And of course, he has pointed out his overseer on earth, the messenger of the hour. Yeah. But the messenger of the hour is just a sinner who has been saved and has shown the best exampleship on earth. And then he was killed in a car accident back in 1965, was taken away. Some people say, well, he couldn't be a prophet if he got killed in a car accident. A prophet should lay down on his bed and put his hands like this and just give up the ghost. Lord, receive me. Hey, John the Baptist didn't have time for that. His head was chopped off. Right? And Jesus said there was one called Zechariah. He was standing worshiping and praising the Lord in the temple. And you know what happened? A man came and stabbed him with a knife while he was praying. And he died, a servant of the Lord, doing the Lord's will and praying and seeking God, and got stabbed because they didn't want him to speak anymore. There's so many wonderful preachers, ministers, and Christians that have suffocated under unjust, unrighteous acts. And one day, they will rise. Hallelujah. The last trumpet in that chapter. And then it says, the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. Hey, when the Bible says it will sound, it will. And the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. That means never to go back to the grave again. Never to die again. The ones who comes up from the grave, they will stay out of the grave. They will be given positions in the millennium kingdom to come. Remember the last part of the Laodicean church age? It says, to them that overcometh, that's Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, yeah, the last part there. To they that overcometh, I will give them to sit with me in my throne. Yeah. You're not going to sit on Jesus' lap. He sits on the throne and you sit on his lap. Now, it's not a stool, it's not a chair. It's a position, it's a government. In my throne means in my government. And there is where you are going to sit if you are an overcomer. You know, it's nice to sit in church and listen to, oh, I'm going to be an overcomer. But after Sunday comes Monday. And do we still think about, I'm going to be an overcomer? Or no. Overcomer, that's for Sunday. No, it's work. Sweat. Forget about all that. Now it's time to do other things. But you see, that is what the scriptures are for. It is to constantly remind you that you are an overcomer. If you let yourself be an overcomer. Right? And to let yourself means yield to the Spirit of God at all times. Hey, you can still work. You can still sow. You can still do your natural work, your job. You can still sit accounting. Do you have a lot of trouble on your front desk? Huh? Yeah. And have the in your mind, overcome. Press on. There's a government coming, and I'm in a training course to make it in that government. It's not a selfish walk. It's not how much is it in for me, but it is how much can I do for him so he can be pleased with me and embrace me into his presence. Hallelujah. All right. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we. Paul was alive when he wrote it, therefore he put we. But 2,000 years later, Paul is not we anymore. He is them in the grave. Right? Yeah. And we shall be changed. And remember, all of us, we believe in the coming of the Lord. And when it comes to that, we will all say we who are alive. Yeah. But we might not be alive when it comes. Determines if we're not, if we don't die. All right. So, for this corruptible must take on incorruption. In a symbolic way, you receive a new cape. A new clothing, but it's not a new shirt. But it is a spiritual body that is made. It fits you perfectly. And it will never decay again. Hallelujah. All right. So the mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So you have to put the trumpet. I know that all Bibles doesn't say trumpet in Revelation 10:7. It's just that the angel's going to sound. But there are several Bibles who puts in the trumpet. Because it is pertaining to the end of all things when it comes to the 6 working days that the Lord has let pass over this earth, and all people included. That is why it is so important that you have part in what we call the first resurrection. Because in Revelation 20 verse 6, the Bible says, "Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection." The first resurrection is really on the last day. Right? And it comes in 3 parts. We don't want to go into that now. But it comes in the Old Testament saints, the bride of Christ, and we will say the foolish virgins, and the people who have to go through great tribulation. Hey, if they remain and stay faithful with the Lord, they will also come up. And over them, the second death has no power. Praise the Lord. That's one of the most blissful scriptures to read. Just make sure your life's quality fits the first resurrection. And then I'll take the last scripture. I know time flies. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those scriptures go together. They all have a trumpet. And it's not 3 different trumpets that sounds. It's the same trumpet. It's just that it is expressed in different chapters of the Bible. And here are 3 sound basic scriptures who speaks about the angel who is blowing the trump of God to resurrect people from the dead. All right. 1 Thessalonians from verse 15 in chapter 4. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or are already dead." So this tells the same story. "For the Lord himself," and here is a very specific instruction, "the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." All right, the Lord himself. Who's that going to be? Remember, angels, they are always in the picture, but they are invisible. So if the Lord's going to speak, he will have to have a material instrument. Have you ever heard tongues and interpretation in church? Have you ever heard prophecies? Right? Or knowledge spoken? Or wisdom spoken? Those are talents of the Spirit. And all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, they are laying there in your spiritual life. You got them all. But you can't use any of them for your own selfish benefit. They are not to be touched by your human reasoning. They are to be used under inspiration. So one of the most important lessons in your life is to distinguish between yourself and God. I mean, thoughts comes into your life, right? You start thinking, and you say, "Wow, is that me or is it something else?" Right? Well, if it is you, you probably know. Because you got lots of thoughts. You might have been thinking them many a time. But when the Lord comes in, think just about Moses. Suddenly he heard a voice and said, "Moses." And then, was that me? Right? And they said, "Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground." And my, that was not me. That was another voice. "I send you to Egypt." Ooh, I don't want to go there. "I was running because I killed a man. I cannot go back there. I'll be with you." I said, my, who's talking now? You see? So when the Lord starts speaking, He will make you know He's speaking. Don't take a chance, "Oh, the Lord spoke to me." Don't be too quick. You might surprise yourself. It was your thinking. When God comes, He'll make you know it's Him. Sometimes in life, I've heard the voice. Got me all nervous. And I knew I had to do something. But I was so full of respect for what was said, so I was scared. And the Lord needed to cheer me up and make me understand this is His will. Remember, when you do the errand for the Lord, you do service for the Lord, it is a very touchy thing. But God have decided to use instruments, earthly vessels. So when the Bible says, "The Lord shall come down," isn't that 1 Thessalonians? Right? "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Yeah. And that shout is really the voice that leads the body of Christ to the knowledge of the time they're living in. The Lord starts instructing and is telling the people that time is not ready for His coming. And when He comes with a shout, then the specific shout is really when He starts inspiring a star messenger. Yeah. And that is really God's plan when He started inspiring William Branham. Right? He became a messenger. Paul was a messenger. And up through the ages, there have been several messengers who represents the true revelation of the hour. And that shout is really the shout that keeps the Laodicean church age on a leveled spiritual balance. Remember, the church age itself is lukewarm. People doze off quickly. They say on Sunday, "Lord, I'll follow you." On Monday, they forgot all about it. Right? Or a month later, "I thought you said you would follow the Lord." "Huh? I? Did I say that? Yeah, I heard you a month ago. Or I heard you a year ago." "Oh, why? I don't have time for this." So you see, when the Spirit speaks, you might think that's when people really start living for the Lord and they'll do it to the end. But the sad story is, people can hear the voice of the Lord and after a while they doze off. And they don't even know what they said back in them days. In January the 1st, 1967, I heard a voice. You know, that voice never left. And if I said there is no God, then I'm lying because I know He spoke. Right? So when people say, don't believe in Jesus, that thing's just foolish, I say, well, that's what you think. But I heard him, and I know he's alive. And he can speak anytime he wants. I don't know if he wants to speak to me many times, but one time made me change my life. If he speaks again, I'll just change my directions, because then he's going to adjust the course, the direction, so that I'm always on the right track. That is my prayer anyway. Right? So here, when he comes down, and he comes down with a shout, the shout is really the inspired message for the time that the bride of Christ live in. Are you the bride of Christ? Do you think you need to have a living shout that keeps you on track? Yeah. Remember, the Bible has been here for many, many years. People don't read it anymore. Then you say, yeah, but we got the message of the hour. Yeah, we have had the message of the hour and 1,100 booklets. People don't read it anymore. Or they make their own little doctrine out of what they read and go off track. So it needs a spiritual input. And the shout is the spiritual input for the Laodicean church age. And that shout has been sounding for many, many years. The shout is really the message that William Branham preached. Yeah. But the shout is still sounding because it needs a live administration of the Word of God. And it says in addition here, and it says after the comma, with the voice of an archangel. The voice of an archangel. To me, brothers and sisters, when I read that part in the Bible, that archangel has not yet sounded. The shout has been going on for a long time. And then there is an archangel that's going to speak. And it will speak to seven men. It's going to be seven thunder voices that's going to be produced by the voice of the archangel. Hey, you have excitement coming up. It's not over yet. But it also say a little more. And with a trump of God. So Revelation 10:7, trump. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 53, a trumpet. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here in verse 16, with the trump of God. The trump of God is going to wake the dead. Get them out of the grave. And it will change the believers. So they will take on immortality. Hey, exciting times. But after the shout, there is a voice of an archangel. And I will advise every true Christian to get real sober and really dedicate your life. Oh, I'm born again. Yeah, that's good. But remember, to stay born again and to think in spiritual terminology. Remember, it's nothing wrong about thinking naturally. But if you only think naturally, then your spiritual walk would slowly fade out. What you nourish, what you feed yourself with, will determine what side you're on in spiritual battle. And if you never feed yourself with spiritual manna, you'll forget about, hey, what was John 3:16? I used to know it, right? But now, so many years, I haven't read the Bible in years. I don't even remember the little Bible. John 3:16. I wonder what it says. Right? So you see, there are things you think you remember. And sometimes people think the Bible says, and it doesn't even say it. Because they have mingled their personal influence into the scripture, and they made it sound so that they can walk in their natural life as if the Bible says so. That's the problem. But when you read the Bible, then you'll find out. And I read three specific scriptures for you. They all include the trumpet. And that is the deadline or the point where the body of Christ is changing into immortality. Take those scriptures, read them over and over. And take also what I said. The Lord Himself shall come down from heaven. There are many places where the Lord came down from heaven. But when the people saw and heard it, it was an angel. And he was sitting under an oak and spoke to a man that he gave a commission. The angel was the voice of God. The angel was the instrument. He was not God, but he carried a shout from heaven, a message from heaven to bring to a man that needed victory in his life, his family, and for his people. And the Lord was training him through an angelic instrument. Yeah. So the Lord can use angels for that. The Lord Himself shall come down. Remember, when you think about God Almighty, that is a spirit you will never be able to see. He lives in a light, you cannot go to it. He has no shape. Therefore, Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you're going to worship God, then worship Him in spirit and in truth. You don't need an image in front of you. You don't need a picture. You don't need anything religious. You need to sink down before Him and say, Lord, you can have your eyes open or closed. You can be ashamed and look down in the dust and say, Lord, I'm dust, I'm nothing. Whatever. Don't put an image before you of any natural thing. Throw them away. That's waste. That's waste. But put the Lord Almighty right in front of you. Speak to Him in the Spirit. Because He will come down. He will be invisible. When I heard His voice, I turned quickly because I heard a man behind me. But there was no man there. And I knew there's something greater than I can ever expect or reason out. So the next time He spoke, I didn't turn around like that. I said, yes, Lord. You don't need to turn around. You just fall flat on your face and say, Lord, I'm just dust. I'm nothing. And that's what the Lord likes. He said, oh, that's good. Because if you're nothing, then I can use you. All right, I won't keep you any longer. Praise the Lord. I read well-known scriptures. But remember, they need to be repeated again and again and again. so that it molds into your system and into your character, so you finally believe, I'm going to resurrect, or I'm going to change in the twinkle of an eye. I will take on immortality. Because Revelation 10:7, have a messenger on earth, but have an angelic guidance who is still guiding the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Until he has fulfilled everything and declared all that mystery of God. And then when it is baked into the body of Christ, he will blow the trumpet and the dead will come alive. God bless you. Good to be with you. Amen. Amen.